Well, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28 is our text this morning, and we're preaching a series on continuing, and today a little bit different message for our Vision Sunday that I've entitled Preparing for Victory. And today is Vision Sunday. That's when we talk about where we're going to continue with our campus and ministry development. A little bit of a different message today. Very biblical message. Lots of scripture. We're going to take about 5 or 6 minutes in the message to talk to you about what we're doing as far as campus expansion. And so I want you to follow along with us. I'll tell you what page to turn to in the book you got this morning. But we're going to start in 1 Chronicles 28. Let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God and make room for those folks that might still be coming in. And you're going to want to have your Bible ready and your heart ready, and we're going to have a great time together in the Word of God this morning. And I want to encourage you to pay attention. If somebody next to you is not paying attention, just poke them. Just practice that right now, all right? Just poke them a little bit. Tell them to pay attention. Sometimes we don't get it all like we're supposed to, and especially on a day like today for a lot of men on Valentine's Day, they just don't get it. I heard about a fellow named David. He came home, and he walked into his kitchen, and he walked up to the refrigerator door, and he found a note on the door, and the note said, "It's not working. I can't take it anymore. I'm moving to my mother's." And he opened the fridge door, and he saw that the light came on, and everything felt cold, and he said, "It seems fine to me." And that's about where a lot of us are, you know, when it comes to, what did you learn in church today? God. So try to do a little better than that, okay? 1 Chronicles 28 and verse number 1. "And David assembled the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the kings by course. And he and the captains over the thousands, and the captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons, with the officers, and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood upon his feet and said, 'Hear me, my brethren and my people, as for me, I had in my heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And all of my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord of Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father.'" Notice verse 7. "Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the Lord God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would help us to continually, passionately seek you and seek your work. I pray that you'd bless this day as I preach 4 times today, Lord, and these services give me power and anointing, and may the truths be effectively communicated to the hearts of your people. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, our text today is the record of David's last assembly with all of the people of Israel. He is in Jerusalem, probably at the palace, probably standing there at the porch of the palace, and he's charging the people, and he's charging Solomon to do what he could not do. That was the building of the temple. God had said to David, you cannot build the temple, for you have been a bloody man. You have been a man of war. And so he is commissioning his son to build the temple. And what we have here in 1 Chronicles in these chapters are the last recorded days of David's life. And we find that although David is now old and feeble, he still has a heart for God and a passion for the things of God. And I want to just say today, thank God for men of years who still dream to be used of God. Now, I really believe you can tell a man's character the older he gets if he's passionately still pursuing God and has in his heart this desire to be faithful unto death, or if he slowly degenerates and backslides. You'll find what really was there all the while. And David is showing us that he really was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who right to the very end wanted to see God's house built, wanted to honor the Lord. Thank God for men like that. Lehman Strauss, a famous pastor in the San Diego area years ago, said, "The last days of our life should be spent giving thought as to how much we can give, not how much we can keep." And that's exactly what David is thinking about. How can I invest in the next generation? How can we see the temple established for generations to come? Caleb was 85 years old when he fought the giants in the promised land in Joshua chapter 14. Caleb was 85 years old when he said, "I want that mountain." He was a man that was pursuing and pressing on for the Lord. And so David, in verse 1, calls all of the leaders of Israel together. Maybe you caught that a moment ago. It says, the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, the captains of the companies. There were 24 courses of priests that were gathered according to 1 Chronicles 26. Some scholars say that there would have been about 2,000 per course. That means there would have been somewhere around 24,000 priests standing before David as he spoke. Then we have the princes of the 12 tribes standing there, the 12 princes. We have the captains of the king's companies. We have each of the counselors of David, those mighty men of David. What we're reading here is a last charge to the spiritual and the military and the academic leadership of the nation of Israel before David would die. And David continually, until the day of his death, desired that God would be glorified and that a temple would be built. 2 Samuel 7 and 1, "And it came to pass when the king sat in his house and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." In other words, David said, look at my house is nice, but the ark is still in the tabernacle that is made of curtains, and I want to see the temple established for the future. And so this morning I want to share with you four lessons that we can learn from David with respect to how to continue for the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you right now this morning that the application I will make is for the Lancaster Baptist Church. How can we continue victoriously? But I'm about to share four principles with you that could change your life. These four principles could build any family. These four principles could metamorphosize any business. These four principles are Bible principles that would be blessed if you would apply them into your life. And of course, my heart and passion, as I believe David's was for the work of God expanding, and I believe that's your heart as well. But here are some principles today that, if applied by faith, will bring us to victory in our lives. How do we go from here to victory? Let's think about that this morning. First of all, I want you to jot down in your notes that there must be the preparation of the heart. You see, the heart of the problem is often a problem of the heart. And so we must, as a church, as individuals, with every bold venture, make sure that our heart is properly prepared. Now, notice David's heart in verse 2. "Then King David stood upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people, as for me, I had," notice this phrase, "in my heart to build an house for the rest of the Ark of the Covenant." We see the preparation of the heart. I want you to know David's preparation today. The word heart speaks of the inner man. It is the totality of our innermost being. It is everything that David could muster. He says, from my heart I've had this desire. And does not the Bible say, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Listen, God is not calling us to a haphazard or haphazard type of Christianity. He's not calling us to a half-hearted Christianity. He said, listen, if you're going to get involved, do it with all of your heart, with all of your heart. David was a man whose heart was totally engaged. David had a pure heart. Psalm 24 and verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. David had a pure heart. David, I see in this passage, had a passionate heart. He was a man who didn't gather all of the leadership together just to talk about the weather. He was a man that had a passion to share with the people. And we're not here this morning just doing church. We are here saying, Lord, we want to continue passionately for you in 2016. And I see all the time, and you do as well, men that just don't have their heart into it. Ladies that just don't have their heart into it. I heard about a guy this week. He finally got up the courage to ask a girl out. And he said, do you have a date for Valentine's Day? And she said, yes, February 14th. Her heart wasn't into it. Look, you meet a lot of people that, they're going through the motions. Their heart may not be into it. But Psalm 42 in verse 1 says, as the hart, the deer, panteth after the water brook, so my soul after thee, O God, for my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David had a passionate heart. And I want you to recognize this morning as we look ahead to March chapter 6. And I want you to see this quote here by Ken Blanchard. What an amazing quote. The ultimate secret for generosity is a changed heart. Let's say that together. The ultimate secret for generosity is... See, why did David get so involved in the temple building? Why would anybody be involved in the local church? Why would we keep continuing passionately? There's only one reason you will, and that is because you have not gotten over the fact that Jesus is in your heart and that he's changed your life and he's made you whole. And I'm going to tell you something. If that's real, it's indicated in the passion of your Christian life, you see. And so David's preparation and excitement was a reflection of his heart. And one of the first thing that wanes as the heart for God wanes is generosity. I concur with Ken Blanchard. So David was preparing from the heart. Notice, secondly, Solomon's preparation. I love this. Now, fathers, listen to this. Kind of catch the picture. Here's David with all the mighty rulers of the kingdom, but he's really talking to Solomon here. And he's challenging his son. And notice what he says in verse number 8, just for a moment. The Bible says, and Solomon, rather verse number 8 of chapter 28. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our Lord, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess the good land. Verse 9, and thou, Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father. Now, David was prepared. That's fine. Now catch this analogy. Thank God for every 75-year-old man in this church who prepares and participates in the work of the Lord. But it's time for some young marrieds. It's time for some young men to grow up in their faith as well. Can I get an amen to that? That's what's happening here. There's the transference. David said, I'm ready, Solomon, you get ready, because we're not going to go forward unless every generation is involved. So he says, Solomon, verse 8, I want you to seek God's commandments. And the word seek here means to inquire, to consult and inquire of God. Now, the heathen nations around Israel had sought diviners and necromancers and witchcraft, and they had sought many different false spiritual counselors. And David says, Solomon, I want you to seek after my God. And fathers, that ought to be the heart of every father here, that we ought to think and pray that our sons and daughters would follow in our steps and follow after our faith. And this ought to be our passion today and something that we pray for. And so he says, I want you to seek God's commandments, and then I want you to serve God willingly. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, And thou, Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father. Would you say that with me? And thou, Solomon, my son, know the God. Say it again. And thou, Solomon, my son, know the. Look at dads. A lot of times our sons, they know the church. They know the Christian school. They know where the gymnasium is. They know some of this type of thing. But we want to pray that they have a personal relationship with God. That they know how to pray. That they know how to love, serve, and give to God. And here, David said, Solomon, I want you to love God. And by the way, parents, that ought to be the passion of your heart. How about this little single mom on the video? And she said, I want my children to know God. Amen. That ought to be our passion today. Amen. That's why we come to church. Right. That's why we continue. That our children may know God. Been working with our son Matt, who's getting ready to start a church, and I'm thankful for Matt and Larry, our youth pastor, and what I see in their life is not merely that they understand ministry, but they're growing in their relationship with God. And ladies and gentlemen, far more than ministry, far more than programs, we must have a relationship with God where we are praying and seeking His will and learning His attributes. And Solomon is challenged to serve God in this way. And so with a perfect heart, he's to prepare his heart. Notice, secondly, not only must we have the preparation of the heart, but secondly, we must have the preparation of the mind, all right? How do you get from here to victory? You got to start with the heart that's ready. Then you got to get your mind ready. You've got to be thinking properly. Look at verse 9 now again. He says, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Now, I want you to know, I want you to have personal knowledge of, you see. And the most significant contribution we make in this life is the passing of the truth to the next generation. By the way, in a moment I'll show you where we're focusing on children's buildings and Spanish educational buildings and young people's buildings. Listen, we ought not to say, oh, I don't get anything out of that. We ought to say, yes, we get to invest in the next generation. So that young people can learn the truth of God. How many of you are glad that children can be saved? John chapter 1 and verse 12, that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. You see, the world today has abandoned the children, and they're letting children be raised by MTV and sex ed classes, and the world's education is very evident in the moral demise that's happening all around us today. But thank God that he has given the institution of the home, and he has given the institution of the church to pass the faith along. And so we've got to have a prepared heart, but we've got to have a prepared mind. And David says, Solomon, I want you to know. I want you to know God. Now, what kind of a mind do we need to have as a church in this hour? Notice, first of all, it must be a willing mind. A willing mind. Look at verse 9 once again. Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. That is a desirous mind. There's got to be something in our hearts today that says, Lord, I am willing to pursue you. I am willing to continue after you. Nehemiah 4 and 6 says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. It was not just Nehemiah, it was the people that had a prepared mind for the work of the Lord. And by the way, the Lord knows our heart. Verse number 9 also says, with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of the thoughts. Listen, how many of you believe that God is omniscient? He knows all. And I'll tell you right now, he knows exactly what's on your mind today. He knows if you sit in church and in your mind change your oil or count the clock, or he knows what's going on in your mind today. And God says, I'm searching the minds and I'm looking for some people with a willing mind, people that believe that I can, people that are willing to trust and to follow. And that ought to be the spirit that we have today, is the spirit of a willing mind. Years ago, we were having one of these banquets. We haven't had banquets in a long time because of facility restriction. And this will be our first time to ever have a church banquet on church property in 30 years of ministry. But we used to rent the fairgrounds. And back when we did that, one of our members wrote me a letter that I filed and took a look at last week. And she said this. She said, "The banquet is the highlight of my year. It's the ball, the prom, the homecoming, all in one. I don't have to go to banquets. I get to go, love to go, want to go, need to go, pray to go, work to go. Each one touches my life in a different way. Thank God that I have a job so that I might be a part." That was her spirit. How many of you would say that reflects a willing mind? That's someone that's thought it through and said, you know what, this is good, this is great, I want to be a part of it. So we must have a willing mind. Secondly, we must have a believing mind. You must have a believing mind. I don't care if it's for your family, your business. I don't care if it's for the church. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 10. Everybody with me so far? I'm going to talk as fast as I can. You listen as fast as you can, all right? Verse 10. "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Now a believing mind must be strong. And twice David says this to Solomon. He says it again in verse number 20. He says, "Be strong and have courage and do it." Now, from these two admonitions, it appears to me that Solomon may have been a little overwhelmed in the task before him. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been overwhelmed with a task before you? Am I the only one? Come on, if you have a teenager, raise both hands. I told my son last night, I said, in 30 years of pastoring, I think families have more struggle and they struggle with the Lord and spiritual things more when they're trying to raise their teenagers. There's just difficult time many times there. And if you have teenagers, sometimes you've got to say, man, I need to have a strong mind. And I see here that Solomon twice is being told, like Timothy in the New Testament, here's being told, be of good courage, Solomon. Be strong and do it. Stick with this, Solomon. You need to get this done. In fact, he says specifically in verse number 10, be strong and do it. Like the Nike symbol, just do it. Just get it done. And yet some people have trouble with keeping that mind strong in that way. 1 Chronicles 28:20. Again, we see it here as he is challenging Solomon to be strong and do it. And the implication is, Solomon, God is always present. It's always possible. And we must be strong. And notice, secondly, we must fear not. Did you see that in verse 20? Notice that in verse 20. David said unto Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not. Would you say that with me, please? Fear not. Fear not. Now, let's think about this for a moment. Fear knocked. Faith answered. Nobody was home. When faith is canceling out fear, God begins to work and do great and mighty things. And let me tell you this. Everything we do for God begins with an attitude. Everything. This service, what you get out of it, depends on the attitude you brought to it. And I've had 30 years of preaching. I've seen some folks that come in and their attitude is, all right, when are we going to hear today? And I've seen some folks that kind of just stare down and, you know, kind of that type of thing. Look at everything we do begins with an attitude. Your day at work tomorrow will begin with an attitude. Right. The way you approach a project. And David says, Solomon, I want you to have the right attitude about the temple. Here's the attitude. I want you to be strong, and I want you to do it, and I want you to fear not. Here's the attitude, my friends. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. My friend, it doesn't really matter the task. If it's a God-pleasing, God-ordained task, then you must recognize the importance of preparing your heart, preparing your mind. It doesn't matter if it's even this special offering on March the 6th. It's got to be approached with the attitude that God is able, God can provide. I'm going to continue by the grace of God. Be strong and do it. Fear not, David said. So we must, on the way to victory, first prepare our heart. Not the mind first, because the heart is where all spiritual matters must begin. Then we must prepare our mind. And then notice thirdly, we must prepare a pattern. There must be the preparation of a pattern. Now this is where some of you guys that build airplanes and buildings, listen. You've got the blueprint, You've just got a lot of reprobate hearts and minds you're working with, and sometimes that can be a challenge too. But I'll tell you right now, a carnal mind or a carnal heart is just as hard to work with. So you've got to have a spiritual heart, a ready mind, and then you've got to have the right pattern. Now look at verse 11. And David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat. Now, what I have found is that when the heart is pure, the vision is clear. Would you say that with me? When the So David, his heart was right with God. Now he could see what God wanted him to do. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. But David now with a heart and with a mind in tune with God, now he could get the plan and he could work the plan to the glory of God. He had a pattern to follow. And I want you to think, first of all, briefly about the pattern of the temple. The pattern of the temple. You see, God was going to give to them a pattern to follow. And if a vision will survive, it must be accomplished with a strategy and accompanied by a strategy of faith. And so God says, I'm going to give you a pattern now to follow. And the pattern is reflective of the ultimate temple that would be built. Now think about this temple for a moment. Think about the distinction of the temple and what all was involved in this project. Just very quickly, this was 45 feet tall. It was 90 feet long. It was 30 feet wide. And it had furniture that had to be prepared not only for the outer temple, but for the Holy of Holies. The candlesticks, the golden altar of incense, the tables of showbread, the silver candles, the brazen altar, all of the brazen laver. All of these pieces of equipment had to be prepared. Now, I am telling you, nothing would ever be prepared without willing minds and willing hearts. But once those things were prepared spiritually, now the workers could begin on the other things that needed to be done in order to service the worship of 4 million people. And these 24,000 priests who would make sacrifice on the days of holy days of sacrifice, they would be representing the 4 million people in this nation. And so they had a plan for their generation. By the way, God has a plan for this generation. And his plan is the local New Testament church. And just as passionate as David was about this plan, we must be passionate about God's plan. So we see the pattern of the temple. Now, let me share with you for a moment the pattern of Lancaster Baptist Church and the pattern of some development that we're doing here at Lancaster Baptist Church. Now, our pattern really began with a blank slate, if you think about it. Here was our big pattern back in 1988, right there. Yes, that's me. A few pounds lighter, and look at all that hair. But the pattern, really, that's the corner of 40th Street East and Lancaster Boulevard, right there. We really just had a blank slate. I really didn't know any architects, engineers, civil engineers. We didn't have... we didn't know anybody at the city. We didn't know anything about anything. We had a prepared heart and a willing mind. We were trusting God to give us the pattern. And so God began to teach us, and our pattern has adjusted with various seasons and needs of ministry. We've had a couple of different master plans that have developed, and it's changed a time or two over the years as we've come through these seasons, and we've had different patterns that we've tried to adjust for the various needs and growth of the ministry at Lancaster Baptist Church. Now, this morning, we focus on five main priorities of Lancaster Baptist Church. And these five priorities are what we're going to talk about for these next few moments. We're going to talk about the Walther Center, which is basically done. We're going to talk about South Campus, Children's Building, College Offices, and Bus Barn. And this is where we're headed now in the next season of ministry for the next probably 18 to 24 months or so, however, as the Lord provides. Now, if you'd like to turn to page 4 in the book that I gave gave you this morning. Some of you are like me. You look up at a screen and you squint a little. It helps better to do something like this. Some of you may have noticed during the Bible reading this morning, I was holding the Bible ever so closely as I read the Bible. It's not because my eyes are diminishing. The page had poor print. That's why I was doing that. Whatever you need to do. If you want to turn to page 4, turn to page 4. We're going to talk about the next steps today as we share a little bit of the vision of Lancaster Baptist Church. And the first thing I want to speak to you about is the multi-use facility called the Walther Center that's there on page number 4. And as we complete, or as we discuss our 5 phases of upcoming development, I want to just touch back. We're going to reach back a little bit with our March offering and finish some things related to the Walther Center. The building is essentially paid for now. We have some water hookup fees. We have a few auxiliary fees, a few last-minute change order fees, things of this nature that we're reaching back. I would say that by the first minutes of March 6th, the Walther Center will be completely, with the first few offerings, completely paid for. And that building, for those of you that have been watching, some of you have been in it for different events, that building has provided a wonderful space for the Spanish ministry as they've conducted services. In fact, I'll be preaching there this morning at 10 o'clock to the Spanish ministry, and amazing things are happening over there with the new space that they have. It's been a wonderful place for various college functions. We've had fantastic athletic events and training events and all kinds of activities for the young people there. In the Walther Center. It has been a fantastic place for church functions like our missionary reception on the Saturday night before our missions conference. We gathered in there and had a wonderful time of fellowship. It's been used for our Christian school as well, for things like the dramas and plays, and just a tremendous stage and lighting. And frankly, it's been nice not to have a lot of those things right here in the preaching area. And this building has been used of the Lord already, and we're thankful for that. It's been a great place for our Wednesday night youth meetings. 300 to 400 teenagers meeting here on every Wednesday night, learning and hearing the teaching of the Word of God. And this building is a testament to the fact that people at Lancaster Baptist Church have had willing hearts and minds these last few years. And what we're here today is to say, let's continue on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see this morning, first of all, this multi-use facility, the Walther Center, just finishing that up in totality, some of the last minute things. Then secondly, we're working next on the Spanish Sunday School and nurseries, an area that we are calling the South Campus. And I want to speak to you for just a moment about the South Campus area. If you look on the notes there, and I think, is there a map also, slide for the map? Let's talk about that first of all. We're taking, and we're in the process now of finishing up the South Campus area. We had some modulars that were donated to the ministry. That was a blessing, but the cost for hooking the modulars up is probably going to be about $300,000 to $400,000 for fire, water, and water, and all of the grading and all of the assemblage and all of the porches and so forth. And these modulars will formulate a tremendous area for nurseries and Sunday school, and even for our Christian school on the daytime. Some of the classes that will be held, one of these is a fully functional a science lab. A lot of neat things that were in these. This was an entire Christian school campus that was given to us, a modular campus that was given. And so we're in the process of developing right now this South Campus. We've been waiting on some grading fees, and you'll see it really this spring start to pick up some speed. But this is a tremendous blessing, and what it allows us to do is to take a lot of the young people from the Spanish department nurseries and to have their entire nursery suite, a lot of the educational space, right out at the South Campus on Sunday morning. That was our stated goal a year ago this time, and we've got the Walther Center finished, but we want to be able to have some of the nurseries and some of the support buildings out there finished. And so that's the second phase of this project. And we're going to be remodeling those modulars. We're going to be putting a peaked roof on them and putting some different landscaping around. It's going to look absolutely fantastic. Now, the next priority I want to speak to you about is our children's ministry priority. So turn to page number 8. We also mentioned this over the last 18 months. We've been talking about once we removed the nurseries and got the Walther Center done, you might recall that we said we we wanted to take the North Building and completely renovate that as the Children's Building. And we have now been meeting with architects on the actual working drawings. We are in an area now, a phase known as the value engineering, where we have the architects and we have contractors looking and trying to understand how we can save money on the project. But notice, if you would, there on page 8. The Children's Building. This Children's Building has great floor plans. I think we have pictures. Can we show the floor plans, fellas? We're working on completely renovating the building. You'll notice the hallways will be interior. The classrooms will have some exterior. We're renovating the auditorium with a giant stage for puppet shows and preaching and things of this nature. And all of this building is going to be all about children. And we're studying right now the square footage parameters to see exactly how high the grade will go up for sure to fourth grade, maybe farther. And we're very excited about having nursery through fourth or fifth grade that is the best quality children's facility ministry ever available at Lancaster Baptist Church. And you'll notice there on page 8 and 9 just some of the outcuts from the company, the design company that we've engaged with to come and create a space that is absolutely endearing to the hearts of children. We're going to have a slide so that they can slide from the second floor down to the first floor. I think they're more excited about that than anything else that we've actually talked to them about in the history of children's ministry. We're going to exterior-wise paint that. You can go back, if you would, now to the exterior. Go back then to the interior, if you would, and we'll show you a little bit of just some of the concepts there for the kids' city as children come in. And this building, it's in one of our oldest buildings now, the North Building. It's going to require a new roof. We need to replace several of the heating and air conditioning units. I want our church family to understand as you pray. Just the initial project budget for this is very preliminary, just to give you the idea, is $1,250,000 to reconstruct and create this building into a complete children's building. So this is not a remodeling year. These are major things that we're talking about already this morning with respect to the South Campus, with respect to the Kids City building. We're not pausing in our faith. We're continuing to trust God and to move forward for the Lord at Lancaster Baptist Church. But the children's ministry is something we're very, very excited about going forward. Then, do we have any other children's? I think those are all the slides. Let's talk next about the college offices. If you want to turn there, if you would please, to page number 10. Let's talk about this for a moment. And someone might wonder, well, what's this have to do with the church? It has everything to do with the church, because the college offices presently reside in the second floor of the children's building. And so we're going to do the children's building in two phases. We're going to do the first floor first, and then we need to move the college offices over to the southeast part of the campus. So look on page 10. On the top right, and we've done our best to try to help you see where we're going with this. You'll notice where it says North Auditorium there on page 10. And how many of you see the arrow? If you see the arrow, say amen. Amen. All right? And you see it pointing there to those green modulars there. Those four modulars already exist. They're currently being used as classrooms and so forth. And so we are going to take the offices from the North Building, and we're going to relocate them down toward the southeast portion, just across from the Student Life Center. And we're going to nicely remodel them. They're going to be professionally laid out for the college administration, the registrar's office, the academic dean's office, on and on and on. And actually, they're going to have better laid out offices when this is accomplished. And this must happen before the Kid City building is completed. We've got to move the college offices over so that we can get the Kid City building done on the second floor. And so that's a tremendous priority as well in the sense of the Kid City building. And then I want to speak to you finally about the bus barn. And that's at the bottom of page 10. This is something that we've had on our master plan. We're very excited to get this done, and very excited about the opportunity to provide this space on the 10 acres over to the east of our campus here. We've already had it approved for a bus barn with an indoor garage for our mechanics to work. We bring several hundred boys and girls to church every Sunday through the bus ministry, and the laws, the emissions laws, the requirements for our fleet every year are more difficult, and we have to constantly bring them back in and add various equipment, keep them up and running. And so we're asking that we can get this done over the next year or two, finishing up our Northwest campus, the campus bus barn, rather. And I think that actually should say maybe on the northeast side of the campus there. But it's just over to this side of our campus to my right and your left. And so the bus barn is the final step. Now, let's look here, if you would, at page 11, and let me show you the interconnected steps of our campus development, just so everyone can see where we're going. Here's the roadmap, and here's how each one affects the other. First, we want, what's the word say? On the first word there is what? We want to finish the Walther Center. And I'd say we're probably 90, 95% finished. And we want to finish up some of the fees we have related to that Walther Center and some of the other infrastructure, bringing some of the water and things out there. Secondly, the second word on the right is? Help me now, is what? Install the South Campus modulars, which will be used for the Spanish nurseries and classrooms, which enables us to begin the third, which is the Kid City remodel, and that will enable us to begin. We cannot really begin the Kid City remodel until we have some of the reprieve of some of the nurseries being moved, so we'll come to phase one of the Kid City remodel. That leads us over, what are the next two words on the right there? Remodel and transfer. Very good. And we've got to remodel and transfer the college offices so that we can do the second floor of which building? Come on, there's going to be a quiz now. We've got to move the college offices so that we can do the second floor of the Kid City building or the North building. And then that leads us back over to where the remodeling of phase two, that's the second floor, and finally the construction of the bus barn. That means that as a staff, we're going to be communicating with you as we come up to move moments. We're going to be putting signs around the campus and emails into your email box. And we're going to be letting you know, hey, these nurseries are going to meet here now. And the second grade is now ready. And it's going to be an exciting year. We've got a cost-loaded time chart we're putting together to manage all of the flow of this as we move along in 2016 and 2017. What I'm saying this morning is this. You must have a prepared heart, you must have a prepared mind, and then you must have a prepared pattern. And for the last several months, since we've been finishing the Walther Center, we have been working on the pattern. Where do we go to provide nursery space, children's space, Spanish ministry space, all of the areas of ministry that are vitally needed? And we're very excited for the first time in the history of Lancaster Baptist Church to actually have a children's building that's dedicated 100% for the children. So I ask you to pray with me about that as we move ahead and as we go forward. Very quickly on the book, just a couple things, and we'll finish up the message. Notice, if you would, on the next page, number 12, our continued church-wide banquet is Sunday, March the 6th at 5 p.m. And so it's on a Sunday night. We have some tremendous special music coming in. It's going to be a great time. Our family's already been setting aside in savings. I want to encourage you to do the same thing as we continue and as we trust God on March the 6th. On the back page, I'll not take a lot of time this morning. Most of you are familiar. Those of you that are new members, this will talk with you a little bit about how we pray and how we prepare. First, we give a cash offering, and then you also can make a commitment over the 12 months. You can give something every week or once a month over a 12-month period so that we can commence these children's ministries projects. And so this morning, we've talked about three things. First of all, we talked about the preparation of the... All right, let's try that one more time. We've talked about the preparation of the
heart.
Preparation of the
mind.
And then we got to prepare the heart. Now let me talk to you about the fourth thing and we'll be done. The preparation of the resources. The preparation of the resources. Now David definitely prepared his heart, definitely prepared his mind, definitely had a pattern for the temple. But notice what else David did in chapter 29 and verse 2. Everybody with me? Chapter 29, verse 2. Now, David says, I have prepared. Would you say those three words with me? I have. Okay. David says, now I have prepared with all my might. Would you say those three words, please? With
all my might.
That's four words, all right? Now I have prepared with all my might, he says. And then notice this. For the house of my God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things of gold, made of gold, the silver to be things of silver, etc., etc. Here we see David personally prepared. David said to all of the people, I'm not asking you to do what I'm not doing. He said, I have personally prepared. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. David was ready and willing with his resources. David knew that God was the owner of this gold and silver, and he was the steward or the manager of it. Ken Blanchard said, the successful person has learned how to make money, but the significant person has learned how to give it away. And so there's not simply a life thought of in terms of success, you see. It's in terms of significance. And someone might think that Justin Bieber is successful. That's questionable. Helen Keller is significant. There is a great difference between success and significance. And someone that lives a significant life is personally involved in advancing the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so David said, I want you to be personally involved in this. Secondly, he said, I want you to be affectionately involved. Affectionately involved. Notice if you would in chapter 29 and verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. I have set my affection to the house of my God. How many of you love the Lord Jesus Christ today? Amen. Amen. And we ought to love his church. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible says, set your affection on the things that are above. I love the story of the visiting preacher that was preaching in a southern church. And boy, he was really getting going with the sermon. He was preaching along and he said, folks, I believe God wants this church to walk. And the man on the front row said, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. And boy, he got excited when that fellow started talking to him. He said, I believe God wants this church to run. And the man in the front row said, let it run, preacher, let it run. After a little while longer, he said, I believe God wants this church to fly. And the man in the front row said, let it fly, preacher, let it fly. He said, now it's going to take some money for this church to fly. And the man said, let it walk, preacher, let it walk. You kind of find out how willing our heart and mind really is when we come to this thought of preparation of resources. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't get anything done in your technical job, in your aerospace job. Nothing's done without a pattern and a budget. And whether it's the temple or an F-135, you've got to have a blueprint and you've got to have a budget. And so we see here that David said, I've been preparing personally for this budget. I've been preparing affectionately. I've set my affection on this. Thirdly, he said, I've been preparing abundantly. Verse number 3, he says, moreover, because I have set my affection for the house of my God, I have of my own power of good and of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God. Notice this phrase in verse 3, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. He said, I had some things in mind. I'm going to do more than I thought I was going to do. He abundantly prepared. 2 Corinthians 9 speaks to the church. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And so we see today that God has given us a pattern. It's very simple. There must be preparation. There must be the preparation of the heart. There must be the preparation of the mind. There must be the preparation of a pattern, and there must be the preparation of the resources. And that's what today's about. What good is a vision if we're not preparing for the vision? And God has called us, as with David, to be prepared for the work that he has called us to do. Last evening, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia passed away. Scalia was a brilliant, brilliant conservative scholar and Supreme Court judge. I think it was 13 years ago, I clipped a little quote, and I want to say it to you this morning in light of the children. Scalia said this, Christians who actually expect to live according to the Bible can expect to be viewed as fools. Christians who actually expect to live according to the Bible can expect to be viewed as fools. Now, today, we might deal with rumbling at the office and corporate policies about, tolerance or whatever. And today there might be a little snickering on certain channels of the television and certain newsrooms. But I want you to just stop for one moment and ask this question, as I've been asking. What is this country going to be like for my 5-year-old grandson and 3-year-old granddaughter 10 years, 20 years from right now? Scalia prophesied, well, if they live for God, they're going to be treated like a fool. Which tells me that we need homes and churches now more than ever to help children know the God of their fathers so that they can stand in the evil day in which they are going to live. And if there's ever been a time to train teachers, to give our teachers the best classrooms, the best chalkboards, the best equipment, if it's ever been a time to let children know that God's word is the most important truth that you'll ever know, it is today. And our preparation, personally, makes a lot of statements about our desire to continue. Notice, if you would, the 7 ways I placed in the conclusion. First, our preparation says that we still have compassion for the lost. It says we have hope for the next generation. It says we have faith in an eternal God. It says we're still committed to our personal faith. It says our pastor is still committed to the long-term vision of the church. It says we want to reach all people. It says we are staking our claim in the Antelope Valley. And I want to tell you today, where there is no interest, there is no investment. I recognize that not every member of Lancaster, listen, there'll be many members of Lancaster Baptist Church who will do nothing for these children's buildings in the way of giving, because there is no interest in spiritual things. But for those of you that know the Lord and are walking with the Lord and walking in the Spirit, who are interested in spiritual things, then I believe God calls upon us to invest in the next generation for His glory. And I want to tell you something. The greatest investment ever made was not in a building. It was not in a program. The greatest investment ever made was made into you and to me by the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross of Calvary, who shed His blood so that we could know God, so that we could have a reconciliation to God. And I'll be preaching tonight a message on the reconciliation we have with God through His blood. But I want you to understand today, there is still a fountain filled with blood, and sinners drawn beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Someone shared the gospel with us. Now it's our turn. And I ask you this morning on this Vision Sunday to prepare with me. Not just to dream with me, but to prepare. Hearts, minds, patterns, resources, that God be glorified on March the 6th.